Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. I'm Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver. Say hello.
Hello, folks.
Ladies, I'm sorry, but once again, we are sans the superstar. He is off shaking his moneymaker elsewhere tonight.
Ripping shirts. It's
probably making less money than he would be here, quite frankly.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. We have him on the hourly basis.
Yeah. Well,
is he documented?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so. Because we were worried about him in that one sting in the Denver restaurant industry.
That's true, yes.
Yes. But he did come back.
He did come back.
Allegedly.
He's a dreamer.
He's a dreamer.
He voted for that guy, too, didn't he? Yeah, it serves him right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, tonight, folks, the subject, the wine subject, anyway, well, of the episode is 2013 Artisan Old Vine Zin. From Mendocino County. Now, notice artisan. Isn't that very...
It's catchy.
Artisan.
Artisan?
Yeah.
Artisan?
So it's kitschy.
It is.
It's kitschy.
You know, it's a play on the name, which there's plenty of Zins out there that
but
play
I,
on the
I
name
don't,
Zin.
I don't like puns or play on names.
Well, you don't like anything.
No, I don't.
But artisan. Artisan. Artisan.
But Mendocino County, folks, it's not a place that we've really touched on... Specifically, Mendocino County, northern part, actually it's the northernest part, really, of the California growing region. The problem with Mendocino County, just like Sonoma County or Napa Valley, there are multiple little, there's little subsections of the county. And when a wine says Mendocino County, we know that means Mendocino County, but where in Mendocino County? You've got, and there's a lot of different subsections that make Zin within there. You've got Anderson Valley. And they make a leaner style Zin, you know. Then you've got Yorkville Highlands, and that's a fuller, bigger style Zin. And then you got Lake County. And I think we've dealt with Lake County recently with, the Hess Select Cabernet.
Hess Select.
And that is a spicy, fuller Zin. But you've got warm areas, and you've got cooler areas. It's probably less Yorkville Highlands, because that's some pretty exclusive area, and it's very, very small. And... Mendocino, for the most part, though, makes some interesting wines, and there are some good Zins that come from up there. Is this wine one of those? I don't know. The Enthusiast, it gave it 91 of its points, which is exciting. Were there any other reviews online there, Scott?
So, not necessarily this
vintage,
but the 2014, the reviewer from wine.com gave it an 89. The Enthusiast?
Yep.
The Enthusiast gave the 2012 an 89.
Okay.
So, you know, looks like we hit the right one to review.
So solid reviews. Overall, I mean, you're not talking about, well, this year, I got an 81. It's pretty consistent. 90,
yeah.
No, yeah.
At this price point, we've loved some 89 rated wines.
Mm-hmm. And folks, tonight we have a very special potpourri. Now, I always say that, and I normally am lying. But tonight...
What?
We are going to provide you with consumer knowledge.
Uh-oh.
We are going to be dealing with chain restaurants.
Oh.
And their wine lists.
Yes.
A few, anyway. Wow. It's going to be a multi-part potpourri. Well, in multiple episodes. You have to come back to listen to other ones. But tonight we'll be dealing with a few restaurants that I'm sure you've been to. And I'm sure you've said, why did I do that? After you ate a bucket of chicken fingers or whatever it was. Potato skins. Which are lovely. A little sour cream on there. But you probably didn't say, what wine should I have ordered? But if you did say that on the off chance, tonight you might get some answers to some of those questions.
Oh, good Lord.
I always said, you know, those nine, like the three-course meal for $12? I want to know. what do I pair with riblets? Actually, folks, Applebee's doesn't put their wine list online, so I couldn't.
I can't imagine.
They're not actually in the group. But we'll make up that. So when we come back, we are going to break down the artisan or artisan zin.
Artisan.
We'll be right back artisan. On the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. Tonight, we are reviewing the 2013 Artisan Old Vine Zinfandel from Mendocino County. One thing we always do is read the back. And this wine is no different in that regard. So it says, sourced from heirloom plantings, Artisan Old Vine Zinfandel is an artisanal wine handcrafted from Sustainability Farm. It's happening if you're choking on water. Multi-generational family vineyards throughout Mendocino County, where classic Zinfandel was introduced by Italian immigrants more than a century ago. This Zinfandel offers notable varietal aromas of raspberry and boysenberry, with notes of spice and black pepper. Grilled meats, hearty stews, and zesty cheeses are a perfect pairing. Enjoy. So they mean pepper jack, perhaps?
Perhaps.
A little pepper jack. That'd be nice. So, folks, that's the breakdown of that. So, when we're looking at the wine, I can tell you straight up, it is a dark wine. Deep-hued. Quite frankly, not a real discernible watery edge, and not very much, very little translucence at all.
Yeah.
A little bit when you hold up to the light, but not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
A deep, plummy, ruby color.
Bino.
But it is a deep, we're back on the air. It is a deep, deep-hued wine. And you did a little research. Do you think it has something to, it's associated with the Hess collection? The Hess?
Well, you know, the winemaker definitely cut his teeth there. And then when you do a little more linking into the wines that they make, there's this huge list, including the Hess collection. So either they're being allowed to use that name, or there's some relationship. When you pop onto the page with the shop, it actually says Hess collection on it, where you have to put in your birth date to say, I'm over 21. But it's interesting. They're making zins from places we like. Dry Creek, they've got.
Wouldn't surprise me. Finding that might be a little difficult though, because I'm sure it's not big production. But this is artisanally made. I'm sure it's not big production either.
Right, and you know, they're saying it's the originators of the vineyard from Italian and Swiss heritage, and these family members are still part of the winemaking.
Do they build a tree house? Do they live in tree houses?
Swiss Family Robinson.
Yes.
Well, they could have.
Okay.
But they might, you know, also do traditional Italian things and...
That'd be less interesting.
Of course. But, than living in a tree?
Yeah, it'd be very, very eclectic. Anyway, we digress. The wine, folks. Back to that. On the nose. Nice nose.
This is sure is a beauty in the glass.
It is a beauty in the glass. On the nose, though, it's even prettier on the nose. And once again, yeah, very, very deep. But you can smell that boysenberry they were talking about. That is a very beautiful little sweet berry nose.
And it's got the 14.7 ABV, and it's got the legs to show that.
Mm.
That's a beauty. That's a Zin nose. That's a nice...
beautiful Zin nose. Not overpowering. And this has been decanting for about a little over an hour.
It's not the biggest nose, but there's a lot going on there. Mm-hmm. The alcohol is not dominant.
No. It's there, but it's far in the background. So it's definitely not something that's driving the wine or marring the wine in the least bit.
an interesting collection of berries in that nose.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not your typical wham-bam raspberry and they move on. That's not it at all. You got blackberry, boysenberry, the sweeter berries. You can smell that. There isn't that lean... Yeah.
I'm shaking. I'm nodding my head like you can see me in the audience. But perfect. It really is.
It's what the back of the label says. Now, black pepper, I don't... Well, I can see that. Yeah.
It's there. It's just hiding behind everything else.
It's actually for the first time, we actually have a descriptor on the back of the label that tells the truth.
And it, you know, interesting point, and I'm not going to be able to pull the other Zins that were accurate as well, but Zins are more likely to be accurate about the nose than anything else, I think.
Because normally, there's fewer things it can be.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, as long as Chateau Souverain made one, it probably smells like turpentine.
It'd be accurate if they put that on the label.
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to go in. Yeah, on Souverain, the Surgeon General warning his label is longer. It's more than just two. Yeah.
There's some length to that finish.
Where is the superstar? Hopefully he is not en route. Ooh. Oh. Then the finish on this, folks, is a grippy little rip your head off kind of action going on. That's excellent analysis. Only on the wine bowl can you hear that. But, dense and rich and
it just goes on and on and on that finish.
Oh, that's good.
By the way, folks, I'm not touching Rob right now. He is just really excited about this. He's looking northward.
Oh my God.
He's looking northward at the holiday. Jesus. And so let's break this
91?
Down.
91? Ooh ha.
Let's break this down before you have to go clean yourself.
I know. It's hard to do that.
One, I get why this got a 91.
I'm still, folks, it's this much, there's a little bit of warming sensation, a little heat on the finish, but it's a nice heat.
Yep.
A berry heat that just sits there and radiates in the back of your mouth. It keeps on going and going and going. On the front palate, you get a very chewy, yet elegant, what would you say? A little bit of chocolate notes.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it's a little sweeter than raspberry. It's not it doesn't have that leanness that a raspberry, the acidity that you normally associate with that raspberry note. More of the boysenberry. Yeah. Boysenberry and a little bit of a chocolate note to it.
I think where the raspberry kind of pops back in is in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
There's just that little... And it's not really a pop of fruit. It's just kind of a background fruit that kind of comes in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I love about this sucker here is... I would say this is a complex... Zinfandel.
Oh, it's beautifully, wonderfully woven.
And weaving is a great term for what I'm about to say that I love about it. There's the front, nice, that little boysenberry that Rob just described. And it's nice. It's not this overwhelming fruit. It's just there. It's present.
Yeah.
And then there's that fruit that's kind of on the backside, just a little bit, that raspberry that's in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
This progresses. It goes through the mid-palate and then heads toward the finish. And then, whoop, there's a little bit of mid-palate that just pops right back up there.
It does. And it absolutely does. It bounds back. And then, you wait for it, then you get this crescendo of a finish that comes out of nowhere. It just warms the back of your mouth with that raspberry and, gorgeousness that just exists there. It really is. I mean, it doesn't have, but if we're comparing it to, say, like a Baron, the difference between a Baron and this, it's not oaky.
At all.
So it doesn't have an oak component to it that you either like or you hate. So it doesn't have that dimension. It's a little more pure fruit. You know what? It's more Rancho Zumbaco. That is an apt. I think it's a little better than
the Zumbaco. I think it's a little better than the Zumbaco.
But that is an apt comparison to the Zumbaco.
And I don't know that I would want this to be oaky.
No, I don't think
this has...
Doesn't have that kind of
the tannic
no.
backbone to balance with it.
No, it does not. It does have a little bit of chewiness, but the chewiness is just one part of it. It's really not the whole... It's not really the focus. And so, slap an oak on it. It also doesn't have the right flavor characteristics, flavor profiles for that.
No.
No. There's no tinderbox here. There's no cigar box or none of that kind of stuff going on. No leather notes, nothing like that.
Dandy.
Oh, yeah. Just pure fruit. Gorgeous in its execution. Length. A damn fine finish.
It's just a hint of astringency there.
But just enough to give it.
And how long is this? How long have you had this poured?
Over an hour to camp.
Yeah.
Oh, and you just when you draw an air on it, it just explodes. I mean, it really does explode. It's a nice quaffer too, but good God, if you give it the time to draw an air on that and look like a fool like we do, it just explodes in your mouth. It is just. As dirty as that sounds, it is fantastic. Jeez, God, I did not expect this. I was going to mock it.
Yeah, you're not mocking this one, buddy.
Oh, no. I mean, it's no Kenwood Jack London, you know, without a wolf on there.
Damn animals.
And the horse between his legs or whatever it was.
Here's the thing. You're going to have to learn how to pronounce this properly.
Artisan.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Artisan.
Artisan?
Who cares?
Artisanal? Okay. It is an artisanally made wine.
I'm going to call it Zinfandel, and it's my new friend.
This is our friend.
You know that song?
This is another example of why we love Zinfandel.
Yeah, it's like Brandy, she's a fine girl. No. Artisan, it's a fine wine. What a good wine it would be.
That was really pathetic.
Yeah, that was bad. But it is the way we feel right now.
I'll say it again. This is a yet another example of why we love Zinfandel. And what'd you give for this bottle?
16, 17 bucks. Yeah, it's in the teens, folks. Mm-hmm.
So when I'm driving...
When you're driving?
Talking to the customers about wines and entry-level wines, I tend to come back to Zins, not just because we love them, but there's so many good examples in that entry level price.
Oh yeah,
that are good to great.
Oh yeah,
and
they're representative, but they're beyond that. I mean, I can just sit here and name wines that I know I really, 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 really like, and the majority of them in the value section that we'd say under 20 are Zinfandel.
Yeah.
Ravenswood. Love that. I love their Lodi, I love their Napa, I love their Sonoma. By the way, in the future, we're going to have their Mendocino and do an official review of the Lodi.
Ah.
We have, what else we have? this, Rancho Zumbaco. We have the Heritage Vines when it's on post off.
When it's on post off.
We liked, now that I think about it, the Rodney Strong Knotty Vines was a little more than that, but we liked it.
Yes, we did.
It was like 20.
20?
Yeah.
19.99.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on and on. I mean, there's so many that we've had that we like. What ones didn't we like? Just the...
There have been a couple.
The jank ones.
But...
Black Mountain.
Nonetheless...
Kenwood.
When you talk price point, pick up a Zin, folks.
Oh, yeah. Good God.
You know, go down our list.
Mm-hmm.
We'll eventually publish a second list of wines we reviewed and podcasted and blog it.
This will be on the fifth one of those, probably, but yeah. It's summertime by the time they're hearing this episode. Summertime. Well, late summer. Maybe fall. But Yeah, folks. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, folks, we are going to... We're going to get out the Twisted Chips. We're going to get out the Pretzel Bites. We're going to get out the Riblets. And we're going to talk about chain restaurants.
Spring Rolls.
Oh, Spring Rolls. Spring Rolls. Oh, true. Lettuce Wraps.
Lettuce Wraps.
The whole Cheesecake.
Ooh.
That's the Cheesecake Factory. I don't know if I have that. I don't know if they published that. Nevertheless. We will be right back on the Wine Vault to talk about some chain restaurantes. Be right back. Chain restaurant. And I said, well, listener, when you come out of your cave and you go out on the street, you will see restaurants on every corner. Go to the next street over. You'll see the same restaurants on those corners. That would be what a chain restaurant is. I know you listen, people who listen worldwide, and if you're our friends in Ireland or India or Taiwan, or you might say, Rob, I don't know what Red Lobster is. Well, you're lucky in that regard. but nevertheless, these are food chains that we are dealt with. Some we like to a certain degree. Some we don't. Really? Well, some of them you don't think as chains, but they are.
Right.
There are better chains. Some are not all. Not everything is Applebee's, although you just ate that with a rind on. We're eating Zimmer sausage, and Scott decided that the rind looked very tasty. The paraffin wax.
I was distracted.
You could, yeah. but that's probably tastes better than Applebee's. We're going to go through and deal with different ones. Now, this list that we're going to provide you is not exhaustive. If you know of a chain restaurant you'd like us to discuss, email us at thewinevault@outlook.com or send us a message on the Facebooks or give us a tweet, whatever. And give us your idea of a chain restaurant that you'd like us to talk about. Now, the reason why we're doing that, we gave you a little background. Now we're going to talk about a few of these restaurants and their wine lists. Now, once again, these are the online printed version. You might have some variation between locale. But this is what they're actually toting on their websites. So, the first for tonight, in the first section that we're going to deal with, is P.F. Chang's. I think the China Bistro. I'm sorry, I didn't have China Bistro on there. As if no one knew what P.F.
Chang's. Yeah, it's P.F. Chang's.
And you've all been to P.F. Chang's. The Dan Dan Noodles is what I get because I don't really want to bother with anything else. And it's $10. So I say, screw it, I'll have that. I used to get like duck there and I realized they don't have good duck. So I stopped getting duck.
But I have to both
I'm pretty sure give it's also props from a pouch.
And criticize P.F. Chang's. They're incredibly overpriced for what they do and what they are.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I like spicier dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been disappointed with a P.F. Chang's dish.
Oh, they can kick it up.
And not just from the spiciness, but quality. If you get scallops in a shrimp dish,
mm-hmm.
let's say you get it all wanged up, a Kung Pao style seafood dish.
Wanged up?
Jazzed up, wanged up, spiced up.
Let's just use the term spiced or jazz. Wanged up can mean many things.
Wanged up.
I don't want to know about you getting wanged up. I'm sure that happened, but we don't need to know about it. You always sound inappropriate.
Wanged up. I'm inappropriate.
Yes. Well, looking at their wine
list. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Never been disappointed with them, but they're incredibly overpriced.
What isn't?
Well. Yeah.
Oh, Charles.
There's that. And Charles. Yeah.
Yeah.
He says with a smile. Yeah.
P.F. Chang's, folks. First of all, they have different categories for their wine. The first category is fruity. The first wine, and they call it fruity with a touch of sweet. A touch of sweet. I like that. Just a touch. And the first wine is Behringer's Special Select White Zinfandel, as if there's a non-special select. So they have White Zin, but that's okay. People from the 80s drink White Zin. So if Michael J. Fox comes in and is DeLorean, he can drink White Zinfandel. Then they have some Riesling, Chateau St. Michel's, Columbia Valley. That's a good choice.
Bing, we checked that off. That's a nice one.
A little German Riesling, S.A. Prum, their Essence. That's actually a good choice. A little, and then Erotica, which is a Chateau St. Michel, I think, product. And that is a...
Speaking of winding things up, isn't that Eroica?
I'm calling it Erotica.
There's no T. That's an I.
The T is silent. Erotica. Well, maybe it's not.
Erotica. No, it's not there. That's an I.
Erotica. Yeah, erotica.
Oh, my God.
Yes. The T is...
So I not only have to explain French to you, but English.
The T is silent and invisible. It's the same thing.
Oh, my God.
But that's actually a lovely wine.
Is it really?
As far as you know.
Eroica.
Yes. The next, they go to floral wines. And I like how they've done this, even though they're incorrect. They try to break it down and tell you, oh, if you like something that's fruity, here you go. Or floral. And they're flowery aromas with peach, pineapple, and
lychee. Lychee fruit.
But shouldn't it say lychee fruit, not well, lychee? Lychee isn't a thing. It's an adjective, right? It's not?
It's not an adjective.
Okay, I'm trying to do the superstar Christian
show. Yeah, you're not like good at it.
Moron. But they have a Filiboa and Abrinho. I don't know Filiboa, but that's cool they have an Abrinho on there.
Yeah.
And a Moscato, which should be up in the fruity section.
Yeah, definitely very fruity. Touches. Well, maybe it's too sweet for them, and they think that
it's floral.
Sweeter is floral, yeah.
And then tangy. They go to tangy, crisp citrus, like green apple.
Okay.
They have Pinot Grigio by Esperanto, by Who Cares? And Estancia's Pinot Grigio, because California producers always do fine with Pinot Grigio.
Estancia's a perfectly fine Pinot Grigio.
There isn't a perfectly fine Pinot Grigio.
Oh, stop being a snob.
But the next one is Jay Vineyards, who's a legit producer, doing a Pinot Gris, which is lovely. And then they have three Sauvignon Blancs. They have Brandicott, which is a excellent, excellent budget Sauvignon Blanc. We'll be on a future episode.
Marlboro, New Zealand.
Duckhorn, which is really good.
Dun, 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 dun.
And so is Frog's Leap. The Duckhorn and Frog's Leap are both Napa. That seems like a big price jump, though, when you're going from Brandicott to Duckhorn and Frog's Leap. Because Duckhorn and Frog's Leap, they're going to charge a pretty penny for those.
Yep.
And Brandicott goes for $10 a bottle retail. So, a little weird. And then they go off to Creamy, because when I think Chardonnay, I think Creamy. Rich tropical fruit with a hint of vanilla. So it's all Chardonnays. They have Columbia Crest, Kendall Jackson, which we should try on the wine vault.
Yeah, the Vintner's Reserve's getting some scores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
It's getting some scores, and it's on everybody's best
Joe
under $20 wines.
Yeah, some of Wente.
Shout out to Mr. Tobias.
I believe Wente Vineyards, we have that in the wine vault for future episode.
I believe we do. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's the Royascoya. Royascoya.
Oh, Royasco. Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Riva Ranch.
It might be. I think that's probably what it is. La Crema, which is a good producer of both Pinot and Chardonnay. Gary Farrell, a Russian River Valley Chardonnay, which would be very good. And Jordan, or if you're stupid, Jordan.
But another top end, it's, you know, it's not your... You know, you're not getting $10 a glass for that.
you're not doing glass prices on that. You're doing bottle prices.
I hope not.
And then we're off to
lush.
Reds. These are lush. Silky, bright cherry, earthy aromas.
Stop talking about my family members.
Earthy aromas?
Lush.
Oh, well, sorry. Mark West, not a great one. McMurray. These are all Pinots, folks. McMurray from Russian River. Russian River Pinot. That's where you want Pinot. That's a good area for Pinot.
Okay.
Willamette is another good one. Siduri is an excellent one. That is an excellent Pinot. So they have a good Pinot selection. I'm not sure what the hell in a Chinese restaurant I would drink Pinot with. I mean...
The lettuce wraps?
No, because that has the peanut sauces, and anything that's spicy would just shoot a Pinot in the foot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't. Matter of fact, a lot of the reds don't really have a place in there. Maybe you're just going in there to drink red wine, yeah. Then they have Sangiovese, which really has nothing to do with anything. And they call this soft and tangy, the soft and tangy selection. Velvety red berry fruit. And when I think of Sangiovese, I think velvety, don't you?
Well, it's soft and tangy. And
is it soft?
Yeah, no.
No. But they have Banfi's Chianti Classico, so that's fine. And then, lumped in with Sangiovese, they have Merlot, which, when I think of Sangiovese, I think Merlot.
Well, when I think of soft and tangy, I don't think of Merlot.
No.
Nothing soft about it.
Especially the fourth one on the list, Schaefer Napa Valley Merlot.
Oh.
That's not soft and tangy. That's a big bastard. That's beautiful.
Punch in the face.
Benzinger, the Sonoma County Merlot. That's very good. Markham from Napa. Not half bad. 14 Hands, we have the Cabernet for a future episode, but that's not half bad. So I wouldn't call any of those Merlot soft and tangy. They're legit. Then we offer rich and spicy and rustic dark fruit with black pepper and a Grenache, a Spanish Grenache, Los Dos, so the two.
I think they got this wrong. I don't know that I would call Merlot spicy, but Grenache, Syrah, Singleton Vidal selection. I don't know about Rich and Spice.
Their one Zin, though, the Three Valleys from Ridge, is excellent. Yeah. Well, that, if anything, they are rustic. The Los Dos and the Bonny Doon Syrah would be rustic. The Zin is, I wouldn't necessarily call it rustic, but I guess it's close. But then, folks, we go to powerful.
Powerful.
And we start
off. I've got the power!
We start off, unfortunately, with a Malbec.
I got the power!
Which should be up in the soft and tangy.
Black currant and dark cherry. Powerful black currant and dark cherry.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Alamos, not that one. And then on to the Cabernet, we have Santa Julia. Organica. No. That's an Argentinian. J. Lohr, Seven Oaks. No. That's bad. I love J. Lohr's Hilltop, but I have never cared for their Seven Oaks, ever.
It's a line below.
It's $17, and it's not great. There's so many good things. In the future episodes, folks, we're going to be dealing with wines in that price range. Rodney Strong, we're going to have that. We're going to do a bunch of stuff in that price range. But at the same price, sometimes you can get Coppola, Coppola's Directors. Come on.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in a restaurant, you might not have much of a choice. But the next one on the list is better. Joel Gott. That's better, but then
you're
jump
gonna
up.
Pay for that.
Then you're jumping up. Well, not the Joel Gott. Joel Gott's not too much more than that.
The 815?
No, it's not that bad.
Okay,
but next you're going to jump up significantly. Hall Napa Valley. I've been to Hall. Did I mention that? I've been to Hall. Beautiful wine. And then you're really jumping up to Joseph Phelps. Really jumping up. So then they go into Cabernet Blend. They have Colby Red, which must have some cheese in it. I guess. I never heard of that. But the other one is really good. And I've
Triana.
Had it. Yeah, I love Triana. I've had it before. It's a beautiful wine from Paso Robles. Beautiful. If you find Triana, buy it. Retail, it's around 30-some bucks. It is a spectacular wine. And then they have some sparklers that nobody cares about. Although, they have, in their Blanc de Noir, the Gloria Ferrera, excellent. Excellent wine. So
I'll be honest, I've never
list
looked at a wine list at
now I always get Tsingtao or Asahi.
I'll be honest, that's a really good wine list for what it is.
Depending on the prices, they have legit stuff.
Yeah, it's completely unexpected. Who would expect a wine list like that at a Chinese restaurant?
Did you tell me this was somebody else that it's the owner of the Raiders. No, it's Lakers.
Mike Davis?
The Lakers. The guy that got canned. He worked from the bar at P.F. Chang's.
Oh, Don Buss.
Yeah. That's where he did his job. That's really great. But that's where he wanted to be. I guess that's why. So from Chinese quasi-food, we move on to Italian quasi-food, to Carrabba's.
No. For chain Italian,
That's not a bad list.
Carrabba's is not a bad list. I have been to Maggiano's, some of the Maggiano's restaurants. I think they're really good, and Carrabba's, similarly, very good for what it is.
But they have some light, refreshing, crisp wines. They have some Proseccos. of, you know, various qualities. Cooper Ridge or Copper Ridge White Zinfandel, yippee-ki-yay. Another Moscato and St. M. Riesling. Nobody ever heard of that shit. Dry and Delicate. Bonzino Bianco. Whoop-de-doo. Then they have Ecco di Mani, the armpit of Pinot Grigio. Mm. If Pinot Grigio had an armpit. Then a very Italian-sounding Chloe Pinot Grigio. Even though it says it's from Italy, that doesn't sound particularly Italian to me. Then another Moscato, which doesn't really belong to the Dry and Delicate.
Which is the same Moscato that's in the Light, Refreshing, Crisp section.
It's both. It's like surf and turf. And then we go on to the most overpriced wine in the history of the world, Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio.
What are you going to pay for that overpriced bottle of wine?
Well, retail's, what, $25, $30? It's asinine. For a fucking Pinot Grigio? Oh,
come on, man.
Jesus Christ. I love Santa Margherita. Well, you're stupid. I love Pepperwood Grove. You're stupid. And then we're on to Zesty, Aromatic, and Fresh. And once again, we have a Prosecco, which should be in the first section, but that's okay. Then Noble Vines 242. That must be something.
Don't know anything about them.
No. They failed to mention. I assume it's a Sauvignon Blanc or something. And then on to the Triple B's favorite wine, Kim Crawford's New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Marlboro Sauvignon Blancs. They get rated. This is one that's on a lot of the top wine white wines under 20 lists.
And then in the Chardonnay, Citrus Apples Oak, William Hill, California. Kendall Jackson, once again. I think we all know Kendall Jackson.
Yeah, I'll bet it's the Vintners Reserve.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Well, yeah, because they have a couple others, but I'm sure it's this. Then we're on to one of our favorite guys on this one, Decoy by Duckhorn. Love some Duckhorn. Quack, quack. And then Franciscan, Cuvée Sauvage. It's Franciscan is what it is. It's their Napa Valley Chardonnay, but it's a subsection, I think, of that. Then they have some Rosé. Nobody cares, but it's a Côte d'Or. Nobody's going to buy that. Why do you have it on your list? And what are you going to drink rosé with in a freaking Italian restaurant? A French rosé from Côte d'Or. No, you're going to do that. And it's Grenache. That'd be Grenache rosé. Oh. Reds, juicy, silky, and red berries. Pinot Noir. A lot of people drink Pinot Noir. Well,
they both of them have the Mark West on their list. Inappropriately, but...
It's
I want a Pinot Noir! Oh, I love the Mark West!
Then there's Coppola Vultre Sante. I don't know what that is. I know Coppola, but I don't know the Vulture de Sante. And then Aluan from Oregon. Who knows what that is? Then Worldly Reds. They're smooth and velvety. And then they start off, unfortunately, with Apothic Red Blend. That's very worldly, folks. Apothic Red Blend. By God's sakes. That dog shit. Oh, God. And then Joel Gott Zinfandel. That's very worldly.
Yeah.
Layer Cake Malbec. Jesus, I didn't know that was from Argentina.
Wait. Stop. Look at the title of the page again.
Wordly.
It's Wordly.
Wordly.
They misspelled Worldly.
They did. Folks, it's Wordly Reds. I'm sorry. Maybe they meant to say that? I don't know. Yes, they did. Carrabba's misspelled Worldly.
To quote my...
They also have three Californians and an Argentinian.
To quote our Ohio State brethren, Mark Titus. Wait, what?
Worldly? Maybe, what is? Well, no, it has to be worldly. But it's not worldly either. Because the third one is Stag Leap's Winery Petite Syrah, which Petite Syrah and Italian food, that goes hand in hand as well.
Oh, my Lord.
Then we're on to Merlot, sultry and sumptuous dark fruit. Well, but the first one they start off with is dog shit Ecco di Mani. Because Italians know Merlot. Then the next one is dog shit. The Robert Mondavi Private Selection. That's dog shit. Then Markham. And I've been to Markham. I didn't buy any wines from Markham. Then we go, look, Italian Reds. Did they spell Italian right?
I think they did.
I think we need Italian Reds.
Italian.
And they describe these with cherries, berries, and spice. That's nice. And they start off with Bonzo Rosso. And then they go into Gabbiano, which I think we know is terrible. Then it's terrible.
Come on.
We had a magnum of it. It was terrible.
Come on.
Then Santa Cristina, Chianti Superiore. Then Sente. Then Pan de Novo Super Tuscan. Then Adagrino Plaza del Torre. Basically everything that they sell at Meijer, they have at Carrabba's, because everything they listed, they have there. Marchese de Barolo. What? Barolo. I think they have a stutter. Yes, Marchese de Barolo, Barolo, Tradizione, Piedmont, yes. And then Gaja, because a lot of people are going to spend $400 for wine at Carrabba's. Gaja's very expensive, folks. That's a stupid list. Then Big Bold and
Robust. The Super Tuscan, something about that Pian de Nova, it rings a bell. I don't know if that's a good bell or a bad bell or just bells ringing in my head because I took a fall as a child and never completely recovered. Well, whoever wrote
this took a fall. Then Cabernet, I'm checking to make sure they spelled that correct. The Big Bold Robust, but they start off with Behringer Founder Estate, which is bad. Then they go off to Dark Horse, California, which is bad. Dark Horse is bad. It, as an animal on the label, it's bad. Then Coppola Diamond, which is fine, but that's not really the real name. Then J. Lore Seven Oaks, which is bad. Then Louis Martini, which is good. We have that in the wine vault for future tasting. Then Sequoia Grove, which, you know, whatever. Is that it? Oh, thank God. That was all Carrabba's. Carrabba's, I don't think, did quite as well, in our opinion, probably.
So if we were going to have a Sweet 16 runoff, I think P.F. Chang's beat him by 30.
100.
Well,
let's
you can't say they beat him by 100 when there were several wines on both lists.
Carrabba's got disqualified for like taking ecstasy, which isn't a performance-enhancing drug. They're just stupid, and they took something they're not supposed to. They were by themselves in their dorm room, and they took ecstasy for whatever reason. We don't know why, but, you know. I guess we're saying, order your wine from P.F. Chang's and eat at Carrabba's. How's that sound? Folks, that was exhausting. I'm going to have to rethink this segment a few times. But, folks, with that, we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. Artisan Old Vine Zin. Around $16 from Mendocino County. We're going to go around the room. Well, I'm going to go across the room because there's no one else here because no one else loves us. Except for you. But we're going to start off with the unlicensed taxi driver. What are you thinking here?
First of all, this is highly, highly, highly recommended by the Wine Vault. I can't... If I had a third thumb to raise, I'd raise it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Tasty. A little spice now, too. Just a gorgeous, gorgeously done Zinfandel. I mean, that's the thing. For varietal character, it is...
Bang.
Oh, it is a Zin. And it doesn't care who knows it. It is a Zinfandel.
And we kind of mock-botched the name, but it is an artisanally made wine. This is a properly made wine.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of care that you can taste in this glass of wine. It's interesting. It's complex. The only thing that keeps me from going... a lot higher in the rating than I'm going to go, is I'm not sure what ageability this has. And that's typically not something we're all that crazy about in Zins, because we know that up front. You know, you're not going to get 15 years on a bottle of Zin. You know, 10's a long time. Could you age this 5? No.
You couldn't. Fair enough. That's fair.
But it's spectacular.
Oh, it is good.
To drink now. Mm-hmm. But if you get your hands on this, drink it now. I don't think I would let this sit at all.
Well, I mean, you can let it. I mean, once again, this is a 2-hour decant. That suggests that it has some ability. And quite frankly, when I originally poured it, it smelled very grapey.
Okay.
So, I mean, once again, a year and a half, 2 years, that will help it. You might be able to avoid a little bit of that decant.
But here's why I would drink it now. I wouldn't want to lose any of this complexity.
No.
And I'd be afraid you would. There's just some of these characteristics could
lean out. Yeah,
they could. Would be what's special about this is the way it bounces around in there.
But you need wines to drink now.
You do need wines to drink now, and there's nothing bad about this. I give it exactly what it was scored at, a 91. I love it at a 91. Mm. It's a beauty. Mm-hmm. And one of the best wines when you take price consideration into play. And what'd you say? What'd we get this for?
17, I think.
17?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Freaking phenomenal value.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, on to me. Whenever I doubt this wine, then I just draw air in it, bring it across, and then I'm like, oh yeah, okay, well, that's what it is. It reminds you, and often, this is a longer episode, and often you'll find wines lean out over that time, the lesser wines. Not this bastard. This guy is as strong as he was the moment we started tasting it. That is a sign, a mark of a good wine as well. Like Scott said, to go up higher in the review points is a little nonsensical because that's just more than what it really deserves. It isn't a collectible wine. You can buy it anywhere, so it's not necessarily special in that regard. But I think I like it a little bit better than the Zimbacco. I like it just about the same as I did the Dry Creek Vineyard Heritage Vines. And so when you add those up, I agree with the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and I give it a 91. And I place it in the Wine Vault Hall of Fame.
I don't argue with that.
No.
Yeah. I tell you what, what I want to do, for sure, I'm going to buy some more of this.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to find their other ones. The Dry Creek Appellation.
Oh, Lordy. They can do that with this. What can they do with anything else?
Kudos. Kudos to the winemaker here. Mm-hmm. And folks, buy it.
Oh, buy it. Buy it. Unless I'm going to buy it, then you stay the fuck away from it because I'm buying it. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Just a little side.
Yeah.
Just a little side story. Rob says, buy it unless I'm going to buy it. He had a little experience tonight in a wine section.
We'll deal with that with another episode. I'm going to rant about that.
A nice old lady tried to take a bottle of wine out of his hand.
Yeah, we'll deal with it. But folks, you listen to the next episode where we deal with some Chilean. Well, we'll still have probably the artist in another glass, but a Chilean Cabernet, which you'll hear next week because we'll drink it next week. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'll deal with that, and it's just a thought. Things that are in my mind. But with that, for this episode, I'd like to thank the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Thank you, Rob the Wine Guy.
Oh, thank you. I'd also like to thank the Superstar and the Triple B for not being here, so we have a bigger wine ration to drink.
Hello. Thank you so very much.
We like this. Just when will they not be here? Well, then, break out the big guns, damn it.
But how about, let's be honest, what a wonderful, unexpected surprise.
Unexpected. I love an unexpected surprise. Well, within reason. I mean, they're good. I love an unexpected good surprise.
There you go.
Like when Steve ripped his shirt off. That was an unexpected surprise, but it wasn't a good surprise.
No, there was a level of uncomfort in the room.
Uncomfort?
Yes. Discomfort.
Awkwardness.
Relatively awkward, yes.
Yes, I'm not sure why he did that.
He was... You guys have been known to make eye contact in a certain wonderful way.
Historicize that nonsense.
I don't think that was that night. I don't think that was that episode.
I did not in any way, shape, or form take that on. But regardless, folks, we are going to leave you for this episode. But we thank you very much for joining us. And we will see you next time on The Wine Bottle. We'll bid you adieu. Good night.